We are now going to the next pasuk in Mishlei Perek Gimel. It's pasuk Chof Ches. As I've mentioned many times, this year is a segula for Arichus Yomim, because it will take a little while till we get to Eishes Chayil. But I don't mean the Shidduchim, I'm talking about the Perek. Perek of Eishes Chayil. So Bezus Hashem should all be well, and we should have Atzlocha on the journey. Amen. But meanwhile, as is my minhag, we are not just learning the Bivakro, obviously. Our emphasis is on the Pasuk and on the Hashkofa that's behind the Pasuk, calling Mekoris from everywhere, basically, that deals with the Pasuk or its idea. This Pasuk, as the Psukim before it, and we made the same point the last time, has a general sense, and it also has a specific halacha in Dinim Mamonos associated with it. The general sense, Al Taimar L'Reacha Leich Vashuv U'mochar Etein V'yeshitach. This pasuk, as Rashi points out, Chein Al Taimar L'Reacha La'oni, go and come back tomorrow, V'yeshitach Masha Titein Lo, and you have the money already in your pocket then and there. So why are you telling the Oni to go and come back? Now, I wanted to point out that psychologically there could be several reasons why a person would want to do something like that. One of them is a reluctance to part with his money. A person is willing to give tzedakah, and there's a milchama going on inside of him. And it's very remarkable, because you can see the tension in the words. You know, he's saying, I'm going to give you, but on the other hand, he doesn't want to part with his money. So what's the compromise? Come back tomorrow. And he'll give it to him tomorrow, perhaps. It's lav dafka that he's docha him, because his intention is, I don't want to give you. He wants to give, but on the other hand, he wants to keep his money. So the compromise creates a delay. Sometimes it may not be that precise or that specific in his hasag of himself. It happens inadvertently because of an almost subconscious machloikas or milchama going on inside of him that he's not even aware of. And there is a general sense of postponement that people have in getting things done that might get in the way. Although in this particular case, if he has the money and it's in his pocket, it doesn't seem to be a very big exercise to take it out. There are many mitzvahs that are much more complicated to do, and the postponement is simply a certain kind of laziness. There is in the Hashkamas Adam Babaiker an idea of jumping out of bed. This is the initiative of getting out and doing Avodas Habayrei. Shteit uf la Avodas Habayrei. The vekker, the ikar vekker is the one that's inside of me, not the alarm clock. And very often the push button that's on the alarm clock is a button that's inside of me. It's not on the clock. And I have a tendency to roll over, to turn over and to the other side and sleep further. This is unfortunately a mashal for a lot of our lives. There's an idea I mentioned in the past that one of the rabbonim who was frustrated in the checks that he was receiving in the mail, he said that if he could change any sif in the Shulchan Aruch, he would allow people to write checks on Shabbos. We had recently for the Pe'ilim Lev La'achim, so they had a video of questions and answers, Shelus Tshuvas, that Reb Chaim Kanievsky was answering. So one of the questions was that somebody came into a shul in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps in Bnei Brak, and he got an ali on Shabbos, and he plunked down the money right on the bima. So the shaila was, what do you do? But the nature of a person is to be inspired by the moment, and then that inspiration wanes and it gets deflected by his practical concerns. And the truth is, there's godless in every person. Tremendous godless. And there's a mechanism inside the person for all kinds of reasons. Some of them are practical and actually reasonable. If we do the extraordinary all the time, we're not normal. And that's Ruiz HaMeshugana that we spoke about the other day. But at the same time, that break, B-R-A-K-E, on our inspired commitments also reduces the person in a very, very negative sort of way. A lot of times our inspiration is damaged because it doesn't have an anchor in the fulfillment, in the reality. So a lot of people walk around with all kinds of glorious thoughts, but they never materialize. So the Lech Vishuv Mocha Etain sometimes is simply the fear of doing something. But it could be in particular, in the case of Tzedakah, a fear of parting with your money, even though you will eventually do it, and give him the exact amount. But there's a very good chance that from the time that the Ani was the door and gave you his story, and Nichmeru Rachamov, the person says, Lech Shuv Mocha Etin Loch, by the time the Mocha comes, the amount that you had originally intended to give is reduced significantly. So you wanted to give him $100, by the time he comes the next day, you'll give him $5. Because the inspiration that was mechayev you at the beginning is gone. Interestingly, when you look at the Rabbeinu Yonah, Im nadarta losseis matona minidvas libcha, temaher uvetishtadu lemalus biyotcha bahakdoma. Behakdoma means behektem, as quickly as possible, as early as you can, asher dibarta beficha. V'amru melitzei hamusar matnas hanodiv mehera. That the nodiv gives, he gives quickly. It means he gives right away. V'inei, right? Amorcha leich v'shuv yoyre al tzorus ha'ayin. He says that if a person tells an oni leich v'shuv, and he doesn't give him the matana on the spot, it's an indication of somebody who has tsaras ayin. How would you translate tsaras ayin? Tsaras ayin is not, well, miserly, right. But miserly, you see, can come from two angles. And this is a very interesting thing. Miserly could come because I can't part with my money, even though I would love to give it to you. But I can't part with it. It's a sickness. There's a miserly that says, I don't like you. Whoever that person is. And that's tzorosayin. The tzorosayin, al ken yis atzel b'matanoso. Gam yikru ovin, kashe yachlim chaveira b'omra elov leich v'shuv. The Rabbeinu Yonah is adding a point that we didn't make until now, which is a very yesodistic point. A person has to know that when he's talking to somebody, his words have implications in that person's heart. And the attitude that you have is not just a question of who you are, but how are you impacting upon him? Somebody that comes and has expectations, and you violate those expectations, you're shattering his heart. So he says that besides the midah she'ena haguna that you have of tzaras ayin, when you say to the person leich v'shuv, you're hurting his feelings. Gam yotzik loy b'teicheles mimushocha. He says also, besides the fact that leich v'shuv is an antagonistic statement that hurts the person's feeling in the sense of hachloma of busho chlima of being mevayish him, you're also making him feel that there's no hope. Who's going to help me? See this person, he has the money. By the way, the same thing is true in Flatbush. There's a minig to keep your door locked. So the oni rings the bell, and the person answers on the intercom, don't you see there's nobody home? On the intercom, he answers, don't you see there's nobody home? So on the intercom, the person says, who is it? He says, Anun nifanaret Yisroel, gekimen. He's a poor man from Eretz Yisrael. He announces himself at the door, who he is and what he is. He should have said gas meter. But he says it's an ani from Eretz Yisrael. So, what do you say? Can't go down now, come back tomorrow. So what is the feeling of the person who looks in front of the house and he sees a mayor that clearly, without the slightest question, the assessment is that it cost $2 million to build. No question about it. And he's standing in that house, and it's very well maintained, and it's a beautiful garden. And he's ringing the bell, and a very fancy intercom with a video, with a halakutazachim. And clearly the person here is very wealthy. And he tells him, come back tomorrow. So in that come back tomorrow, there may be a tzaris ayin on the part of the gvir who doesn't come to the door, and many other things. But the question Rabbeinu Yonah asks is, forget about him, focus on what's happening to the ani. So this person at that moment knows that he's not going to get anything, and if he comes back tomorrow, he'll be zeicha to a dollar. However, at this moment, what other feeling does he have? Sakta Rabbeinu Yonah, besides the bushel chlima, what am I, not a person? I'm a sheretz. You can't open up the door. Talk to me. Besides that hergish, the person at the door gives up hope. His disappointment leads to yeush. You know, Chazal tell us in Maseches Megillah that the Einei Aniyim are tluyos to the Kriyas HaMegillah because they know that that's when they'll get money. There's a certain hasaga that you have hope. This fellow knows that chances are that he'll get more money from a younger man in Lakewood who lives in a very average house and who's sitting and learning still than from this gevir. He knows it already. But afal pi kein, you go to that house and you see the house and you say to yourself, maybe, ulai. And then when the person doesn't even answer the door, so that's the loshen gam yotzik lo, not only is he embarrassing him, but he's also causing him pain, and he's making him lose hope because he had teicheles, like Yachel Yisrael El Hashem, teicheles memushocha, and va'acha sheyeshitoch haloisoyz midabchusa. Now he adds, as Rashi does, Rashi says, Rabbi Senu pirshu leich v'shuv al schar sokir. Here you have a very remarkable halacha. I want to go into that halacha with you. Let's continue to Rabbeinu Yonah. Yomru Chazal b'bam metziyad af kofyura medbeiz ki b'chlal azoga azois shelo ya'ache odom schar sochir. Boike rishayin oiver b'loi solin. Mikan v'eilich oiver b'leich v'shuv. It's a very remarkable halacha. And the halacha is remarkable because there are different kinds of lavim, and I want to just mention that point as we look at the halacha. The halacha states as follows. Take a look in the tour, Choshen Mishpat, that I brought. Shem She'osel Amal, this is from Simon Tzadi Zayin. Okay? But in Simon Tzadi Zayin, he says, K'shem She'osel Amal V'letoivoi, Kach osel aloi v'lichvoi shmamin chaveiroi v'loi maloi leich v'shuv v'mocha etein v'yeshloch. This is the halacha of aloive. But we're talking, that we'll get to that in a minute. But now we're talking about the halacha of schar sochir. It's a separate halacha brought down separately in the Shulchan Aruch. And that halacha says the following. If a person hires a worker and he promises him his wages, and the time comes to pay the wages, he's mechuyev to pay the wage immediately. He has the right to ask him, would you mind if I pay you the next day or a little few days later? Or if there's things that he doesn't have the money, it's a different story. But if he has the money and he doesn't make a condition with the worker, and the worker comes to get paid and he doesn't pay him, so that day he's over a lav of loisolin pu'ula sochi itcho ad boiker, which is a lav in the loisa says of the Torah, one of the Taryag mitzvahs. In the minion of the loisa say, it is one of the lavim of the Torah. Remarkable thing about that lav is you can only violate it once. Why? I mean, at that moment, with that particular episode, you can only violate it once. Why? Because the minute you were malin ad boiker, you were over the lav, and you can't fix that. Because that lay sullen means that day. And that's what he says here. Boiker rishon over beloy sullen. What about, so here you have an interesting paradox. Is it better that he keeps postponing it another day and another day? So Pashtus, if he's over on Loi Solon Ad Boiker, then he should certainly be over at Boiker Sheni, Boiker Shlishi, Boiker Revi. Is in the Dairaisa, you're not over. Because the Din Dairaisa is once it's done, it's Fafal, and that's it. But there is a Midivrei Seifrim from the Pasuk in Mishlei, which Pasuk? Our very Pasuk. So if he tells the person, come back tomorrow, after the first day, he will not on the second day be over loy solon pulasachi itcha ad boiker, because that's a one-time violation. But he's over this pasuk. Now the question is, he's over this pasuk, how often? So now is a very interesting thing. This pasuk has also the word machar. But machar is just a simile. It doesn't mean machar. What if he tells him, the person, come back in an hour? But he has the money already in his pocket. What if he tells him that hour, come back in an hour? So it would seem to me that every time he has the opportunity to pay him, and he doesn't, he's over on this lav. So how? What is triggering the aveira? How many times are you over the aveira? So it would seem to me that every time the poyel comes to ask for his money and he doesn't give it to him, it could come 50 times a day. He's going to be violating this lech reshuv u'mocha etein v'yesh lecha again and again and again and again. This has no time limit whatsoever. That's one second. That the Rabbeinu Yonah Rosh Mikam ba'elech over b'lech v'shuv. Right? That's what he says. So now, I wanted to go into something, but I just want to point something out to you about this. This drasha of Leich v'shuv u'mocha eten loch, is a pella. What's the pella? What's bothering me? Is the pshat, in other words, how could it be that the Torah is already satisfied with you, and there's no further lav when the lemaisa the payel is not getting his money? So what's the svaras hadover that we need a pasuk midivrei seifrim, and that the Torah seems to have stopped? All right, you did an aveira, that's the end of it. This is what's bothering me. Let me try to explain it a little bit better. It would seem that the longer a person postpones the payment that is due the payel, he's nishtarish b'chait. I mean, he's doing the same thing again and again, and it's actually worse. Because if the payel needed his money, then he needs it even more now. Because a few days have passed, there are more expenses, the baby needs more milk. So what's the pshat that you're over loy solon pulasachi once, and that's the end? It would make most sense that you're over pulasachi every day for the rest of the time, and if it's measured by the day or by the amount of times that the worker comes to ask for the money, but whatever it is, how could it be that it's limited to one day? And then the halacha tells you, but don't think for a moment that you're potter mikol v'chol. You did an averus geendikt, because midivrei seifrim they've got you, because it says leich v'shuv u'mocha eten loch. What's the svaras hadover? What's the svaras hadover? How is it better that it's the next day? Avadanat. So why is the lav only one day? So I was thinking that the Hagdara of the Lav, you have to understand what the Hagdara of the Lav is. What's the Aveira? So there is a concept called Oishek. Oishek is different than Gezel in one sense. It's a form of Gezel. But Oishek, Ayin Shin Kuf, Oishek, Oishak Es Amisai, Oishek is not giving a person what you owe him. In other words, if you steal from a person, he has something already in his possession that he owns, and you take it away from him. That's called Gezel. Oishek is, he doesn't have what's his, because I didn't give it to him. So, for example, if I keep something in my possession that he gave to me, which I have to return, or if I owe him money, which I don't want to pay him, that's under the rubric of Oshak Es Amisa. So now, it's very interesting. I don't pay him, but I intend to pay him. So the first day, there's a lav of loisol and pula sochir itcha. After that, it is an abizrayu of oishek, even though eventually you'll pay him. And I'll explain to you what I'm saying. Loisolin is ad boiker because the tendency of a person is it's nishgefelach. You can wait that long. The tendency of a person, let's say a person owes somebody money and he postpones the payment for totally illegitimate reasons. So he's holding somebody else's money, shaloi kedin. When a person says, I'll pay you tomorrow, the first time, the first morning, he's not there yet. He's not intent upon withholding the money. He just doesn't want to pay him right away for whatever reason. In other words, there's no gzela in the first moment. There's a gzela already afterwards. Because what's heist, you're not paying me. Ad boiker, the hasoga is that I'm not doing anything wrong. It's nishkefelach if you wait a few hours. So when the halacha says pay him immediately, it's almost like lifnim mishuras hadin type of idea. I don't have to pay him right away. A few hours not going to make any difference, is it? So you're still paying him. The next day you're not paying him already. You're called not paying. Not paying is an oishik already. It may not satisfy all the technicalities of oishik, but in the abizrayu of oishik, it's already in the halacha of oishik, of oishak es amisai. So that's why the Torah is interested in the moment where you don't think you're doing anything wrong. That's the point. In the Al Toim Alech Veshuv Umocha Eten Loch, you are violating that din where you feel that you're not doing anything wrong the second day, the third day, and the fourth day. In other words, Midi Raisa, they already have put it into the rubric of withholding the person's money shaloi kedin. I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're mechuyev to pay back the money. Now we see you go me inyan le'inyan, you'll see clearly. A loyev is mechuyev to pay back his money. There are a lot of people, when it comes to borrowing, I don't know if you noticed, but when a person borrows and he needs $100,000, for example, he borrows the money and he's very excited that somebody gave it to him, and the amount is an incredible sum. It really is. But when you need it, and you're involved in a business, or this, or that, or whatever, it doesn't seem to loom very large the moment the person gives it to you. Pay it back? You have to pay back $100,000? Where am I going to get that money from? And it's really, the money, the perception of the money, the zeros suddenly start to grow, like mushrooms, like huge mushrooms. And all of a sudden, it becomes a tremendous shiloh. Where am I going to get the money from? What was your havamina when you borrowed the money? A very important point. Somehow, the money is always less in perception when you borrow it than when you have to pay it back. But there's another thing. You have the money. I'm not in a rush to pay it back. What is he called? The loiva, the 30 days are up, the 2 years are up, whatever it is, and he's waiting for his money, the malva. And the malva could be a gvir adir, it makes no difference whatsoever how much money the malva has. But you're holding his money, shaloi kedin. You agreed to pay back at a certain time. The halach in halva has two extremes. What if you don't have the money? He's not even allowed to say shalom aleichem walk across the street. Because the malve is being mitzayer you. You don't have the money. Leave me alone. So the Torah says, leave him alone. What if you have the money? Then the opposite. You're a gazlan. How do you hold somebody else's money, shaloi kedin? You're holding him a prisoner, a hostage. I mean, you don't give it to him. So... Take a look at the Tuch HaShemishpat again. K'shem she'asa l'malva l'toivoy, just like it's asa for the malva to demand it when he does not have the money, it's not permissible to the malva to demand the money after the time is up. If it's clear that the loiva doesn't have it, he has to wait. Kach also la loiva lichvash mamin chaveir v'loy maloy leich v'shuv u'mocha etain v'yesh lecha. He's kovesh mamon chaveiro. He's not giving money. He's keeping the other person's money. When the chayv is up, the money is due. He is holding the malva's money. He's a gazlan. And this quality of gzela is peculiar because he intends to pay him back, but in his own good time. So while he's holding the other person's money, he's in an oishek mode, which is basically underwritten or defined by Mishle rather than by the Torah. But it's basically a Torah idea. The Torah idea, however, is not loisol and pulas socher. The Torah idea is leich v'shuv u'mocha etin loch. That's why the Shulchan Aruch can bring the same pasuk in two separate places, in Hilchas Schirus and in Hilchas Malva V'loiva. Because the common denominator of leich v'shuv u'mocha etin, in the way the Gemara deals with it, is when you're holding back money that doesn't belong to you, and that's a gedder of gzela. Masha Enkein, the first night, is not a gzela. You're not holding back money that doesn't belong to you yet. Because the Torah is just interested that he... So what is the Torah interested in if that's the case? The answer is the feelings of the payel. People don't work for other people unless they really need to. It's not... I mean... It's a shibud. You're an avid of sorts. All right, the Torah has all kinds of halachas, avodai heimbol, avodim, avodim. That's why poyel yochel achzor b'afilu kebachatzi ayoyim. A poyel can quit his job even in the middle of the job, because otherwise he's considered an avid. Well, let me tell you something. He doesn't quit his job, and he's happy that he has the job. And he is an avid. So when you pay him right away, you tell him you're not an avid. When you postpone the payment, you say, well, I'm not going with you. I'll do it when I feel like. But you're not holding back his money. It's not yet a zman of oishek. Because I'll do it in my good time. I don't have to pay you this minute. Why? Because you showed up? I'll pay you tomorrow. So ad boiker is not a gzela mode. So ad boiker says, but you have to treat him with such refinement that when he shows up, he gets his money for gemara. He doesn't have to worry about you. He doesn't have to wait for you. He's the boss. And you're the avid. Once it's past the biker, it's already a gedder of oishik. Why? Because then it's pshat is you're holding his money. Shaloi kedid. It's not a payment issue. It's a gezel issue. That's why the Torah doesn't go beyond ad biker. Because after ad biker, it's much worse. That's what I'm saying. It falls already under the rubric of gezel. And the divrei seifrim that you have of leich v'shuv u'mocha etin v'yesh lecha is simply defining, according to the Chazal, that orientation that says, I'll give you if I feel like it. That's really what he's saying. And if it's somebody else's money, that's gezel. Masha ein kein, I'll give you tomorrow, when you're mechuyev to give today, is not gezel. It's simply playing with the other person's feelings, and you have no right to do that. So that's what I wanted to suggest to you. Now, getting back to the non-halacha rubric of this pasuk, I wanted to take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim on the spot, and then a number of Sfarim, connect this pasuk to a very, very famous expression in Pirkei Avos. Al toimar liksha efna eshna, or some say she'ipana eshna, shema loisipana. Don't say that I'll learn tomorrow. Manana. Now, what's the difference between, why is that a chiddush here? Because if the pasuk is looked at, you don't identify in this pasuk your own personal responsibilities and commitments to yourself. Because the pasuk is talking about two people. You shouldn't say to somebody else, Leich shuv umacha atein lecha. So it's talking about tzedakah, it's talking about, according to Chazal, payment of money that you owe a person, or payment for a schar sachir, for a pile that works for you, but there are always two people. Is you. It's them being tardy, delaying something that's kedai to do now. So how do they connect it? Let's take a look. The Malbim on the bottom of page 1. Al toima lereach aleich v'shuv v'mocha etein. What's a loimar? Shaloi levad shaloi timna ha'toiv legamri. Because the previous pasuk said, al timna toiv v'olav, if it's yesh b'koicha cholasos, then you have to do it. So that's saying, don't withhold the toiva legamri. This pasuk is not as chomer. Why? L'cha'ayra. Because he's not saying, I'm not going to do it. He's saying, I'm going to do it tomorrow. So I will do you the taiva, but I'll do it for you tomorrow. But shaloi mashaloi levad, not only is the previous pasuk shaloi timna ha'toiv legamri, ki gam ein roi sh'ta'achar asiyas ha'toiv al yoim ochar, achar shiyesh yitcha, v'tucha lasis ha'toiv ha'yoim, kein ein roi la'achar ha'toiv ha'nafshi v'litchoise li'yoim ochar. In the same way, he says that the pasuk is telling me I shouldn't postpone the tzedakah or the payment, so too I should not postpone a toiv hanafshi, a spiritual good, and postpone it for tomorrow. K'mosha amru al toima l'ksha'efne eshne v'roi shetasa ha'toiv b'oitcha b'ibach b'imeinu urecha.
What's ibach mean?
Ibach means when you're in your freshness. It's a horticultural expression. I just want you to know that what he's meramis to here are a huge chunk of Koheles. Koheles says is chayres bayrecha b'mei b'churasecha atchelo yavo yamei hara yomim asher toima ein li bayam chayfetz. And this basically is the remez of the Malbim, that when you're still fresh and young and capable. It's very, very interesting. I have to tell you that when I looked at this makar, I was thinking to myself, how does a person normally tie chal tomel kshefne eshne shem aloi sipona? Shem aloi sipona. So I think the Malbim is adding something into our understanding that we may have missed completely. Take a look in the Magen Avos. The Tashbitz, Reb Shimon ben Tzemach Duran, one of the Gedolei HaPoskim of all times, he wrote a sefer called Magen Avos on Pirkei Avos. And on this Mishnah, he writes, V'al toimel k'shefne eshne shem aloi sipone, zeh nema lifidaito shel zeh hadoicha hazman lizman acher. He postpones things. He postpones today for tomorrow. Ki shema oisei zman shechoshev sheyi aponui, lo yi aponui, ki yeitzu lo yasokim. That is the chayrut of Pashup Shat. What does Shem Aloi Sipana mean? You have all kinds of ideas. When I retire, that's when I'll have time to learn. And the person is not retiring. He's not retiring at 60, and he's not retiring at 70. I have big family, I have 8 o'clock to marry off, you know, people sitting and learning in my mishpacha, I have to provide for them. He's not retiring at 80, and he's not retiring at 90, Baruch Hashem. He's not retired. Yesh lo yasokin. Shema lo yisipana. Maybe you won't become free. So you'll never have time. So you have to not think along those lines. That's what it says. V'nimtza sheyoytze me'olam b'loy toira, for who einay roitze lotzeis b'loy toira? He wants to learn at a different time. He's saying this person really is sincere. He's not a person that abandons Torah completely. He just wants to postpone it for another day. Right? So, and his machshavos are stymied by his reality. It turns out that he doesn't have time to learn. A person should not have fantasies. He should not trust in his dreams. Now he writes as follows. Well, Ein loy litchoy zois hashoa she'ef shaloy lishnois, v'apim yishne b'shoa acheres, ein loy levatl shoa zu. Sherei b'chol shoa chayiv lishnois v'lasis terasei keva, v'al ze dorshu b'midrash mishlei, al toymel reach alech v'shuvu mocha etem v'yeshitcha. Reacha ze hakadosh baruch hu, shenema ze doidi v'ze rei. The word rei, I don't know how I forgot to write it in. But Zed, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, Zed doidi v'zeh rei, who is my friend? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when the pasuk is talking about, don't tell your friend, come back tomorrow, what does the Tashbit say, the Medrash says in Medrash Mishlei? That you shouldn't tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, come back tomorrow. Now here you have a very remarkable problem. It's a dilemma in the very words of Pirkei Avos. In other words, what I'm saying is, I have a gevaldik kasha on Pirkei Avos. And the kasha is emphasized in what I would almost call the stira of the first half of the Tashbits and the second half of the Tashbits that's in front of you. Let me explain to you. I have an hour to learn right now, or I don't have an hour to learn right now. What is it? I do or I don't. So let's think for a moment what we're talking about. This is the beginning of answering the dilemma, but a person has certain obligations that he needs to fulfill. He has to feed himself and his family. Basic needs. And he has a parnosa. And the parnosa requires him to work right now. Is this an hour to learn or not an hour to learn? A person has to daven. A person has to fulfill his needs, physical needs. It's not a time to learn. At that moment, is he violating anything? Is he postponing anything? Is he doing anything that's impacting upon his learning devotion? Of course not. Now, what happens if a person's doing nothing? And all of those other inyonim that he must do have been satisfied. And he has a free hour. Is he mechuyev to learn that hour? Okay, so I want to know, what is the al toimel shema loy sipana? What's the case? If he has no time to learn right now legitimately, so he doesn't have to say it she'efna eshna. It's just the mitzvah is that he has to learn later because he can't learn now. You know very well that learning does not allow you to postpone mitzvahs or to eliminate them if it's e efshar lasos al yedei acherim. So if I have to do mitzvahs that only I can do, then I also do those mitzvahs. And so on and so forth. If I postpone my learning legitimately, that's not included in Altomik Shef Neshna. Now, let's say the opposite. He has an hour to learn, and there's nothing, no reason in the world why he shouldn't be learning now. Then the reason that he shouldn't say, I'll learn later, is what? Because maybe later he won't have time? The reason is because right now he's Mevatel from Torah. So Memanav Chach. When does the Al Taimuk She'efna Eshna have a reason of Shema Loi Sipane?
When the person comes home from work after a day's work and he needs to rest and relax.
Okay, that's a possibility. But you see, what I'm trying to say is, I think you're right, but I think it's much more profound than that. And let me explain to you how I understand Al Tom Shef Nash Neshem Eloi Sipona. We're talking here not about a specific hour. We're talking about a world view. We're talking about a Hashkafas Olam that dictates what my plan for my life is going to be. The Rambam in Perek Gimel zeroes in on this mentality and he says it crystal clear. Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam says as follows. A person should not imagine that he'll be kind of Torah im ha'oysher v'ha'kovod ka'achas. A person's idea is that he's going to somehow manage it all. He'll have it all. He's going to have Torah and oysher and kovod. He's going to engage in activities which allow him success in business beyond the needs of the moment, so that he has both Oysher, and as I always told the Olam many, many times, Oysher is good as an excuse up to a point. After that, Aisha becomes only excused by a desire for covet. Because you have more than enough. No one, as I point out, no one can use three bathrooms at the same time. Kal v'chomer 20 bathrooms in his house. What does a person need 20 bathrooms in his house, and he and his wife is living there and they never allow anybody in because they're afraid they're going to step on the carpet? So you don't need 20 bathrooms. But when somebody on the outside is told that this man has 20 bathrooms in his house, ooh, gewaldig. He doesn't say, ooh, this guy must have a problem with his prostate. He says, ooh, gewaldig, that he's a gvir adir. So the first two bathrooms is for him and his wife. The next 18 bathrooms are for the person on the outside. Not to use, you understand. I'm talking about to appreciate. But that's the way it is. I mean, what am I? I'm making a litzanus out of it because it's the biggest litzanus in the world. It is a litzanus. And there's a chiyuv to make it a litzanus. So that we drum out of our heads that mishuganus shtus of a desire which people somehow have. And it's very hard to get rid of. So you want to be the biggest, the best, the most powerful. This is all covered. It's all covered. I told you that once a person who was very wealthy got up, he was honored by the yeshiva. He got up with Ne'am Ve'eda, it was a Chag HaSmicha, I believe. There was 1,000 people there. And he says, I don't understand why there's no bracha on kavod, it's so gishmak. There goes an honest man. So that is the reason that the Rambam always pegs the two together, because he's trying to explain where that she'ifa, where that desire comes from to have a lot of money. Oysher and covet. Then the Rambam says, you might think that you can have that plus learning as well. So he says it's never going to happen. In the Al Toimuk She'efna Eshna Shem Eloi Sipona is a mentality that's rooted in Hashkofa. It's not the specific moment. Einochanami, if you have a free moment now, you have to learn. That's for sure. But how are you setting up your life? What are your goals? What are your values determines your goals. What your goals are determines how you're going to manage the day, for not for today and tomorrow, but for the next 40 years. So anyone that starts out with a vision of l'ksheefna eshna is corrupting his life. That's what they're saying, Shema Lo Sipana. It isn't the halacha shaila, am I violating Bittul Torah today? That's not the issue here. The issue is, are you going to be a Ben Torah, or you're not going to be a Ben Torah at all? That's Shema Lo Sipana. In the basic idea of the Tashbitz at the beginning, Kishem Oisei Zman Shechoshev Shiyaponu Lo Yiyaponu. You have to understand something. He's saying, not I will retire. That's not the pshat of she'efna eshna shem eloi sipana, that I will retire. We're not talking about, in the Malbim it is, but not in the basic pshat of shem eloi sipana. Shem eloi sipana means, you will be corrupted by your very greed and desire for money into thinking in terms other than becoming a Talmud Chacham. And your whole day will be busy with the nonsense of acquiring Chafotzim instead of acquiring Tiras Hashem. That's the Shem Eloi Sipana. In other words, that's the answer. It's not a question of the Zman. Zman is, there's no such thing as tomorrow I have to worry about. If you have a free moment, you have to learn now. That's the Aveira. You don't have to say Shem Eloi Sipana. If we were talking about the actual Zman, it should have said, Al Toima L'Ksheefna Eshna, because it's a tray for thought to postpone learning. If you can learn now or now. Because what are you doing with this hour? But that's not the Pshat. And it's not Pshat, when I retire, I'll learn. Because even that's not the pshat. The pashut pshat is, don't say l'ksheefna eshna as a hashkafas olam, I will somehow manage to put the Torah into all the places where I am free, and meanwhile I'm right if achar oisha v'chavit. Even oisha v'chavit, but you still have a free hour here, free hour there. I'll learn by asmod in those hours and I'll manage. I have a good head, I have a lot of capacity. The chakira here is not, are you fulfilling mitzvahs Talmud Torah? Avada, if you're allowed to, you don't have to learn. And if you're not allowed to, then you're over the Aveira right on the spot. But we're not talking about mitzvahs and averus here. We're talking about a person who has dreams, and you tell the person, this dream will never happen. Because Shema lo sipana. And Shema lo sipana is like Shema le'yesef Shema, vaday lo sipana. That's the real answer to this nakuda. Again, I asked a simple question. Why do you have to go to Shema lo sipana? Why don't you say Mamonavshach? If the hour now is something that he needs to do other than Torah and he's legitimately entitled to it, there's no problem of saying I'll learn later. Because he can't learn now. If the hour now is available, the Aveira and the Avla is that he's not learning now. Not because Shema lo sipana, maybe it won't happen later. It's not happening now. That's the problem. That was my question. The answer is, Avada, what I just said is 100% true. The Aveira is for not learning right now. But we're not talking about this hour versus that hour. And we're not talking about the specific Aveira of Bitl Torah. We're talking about the orientation that a person has in his life. And that al toimuk she'efne eshne shemalei sipana is allowing him to think that somehow he'll manage it all. But let me read you the Talmud Rambam and the Talmud Torah. Listen to the following. Misha neso libo l'kayim mitzvah zukaroi v'liyos muhta b'kisra shal Torah v'lo yaseach daito l'dvarim acherim v'lo yosem al libo sh'yikne Torah ima oishe v'akobot ke'echad kachu dakar shal Torah. Asay Tayroscha Keva Umalachtacha Aroi, for Al Toima Likshepone Eshne Shema Loisipone. You see how the Rambam, this is Perigimel Alocha Zayin of Vilchas Talmud Torah. The Rambam is telling me Beferush that this is not a specific problem of that hour, or a person who has a life of work, and then he's talking about the time of retirement. They didn't have Beklal such a thing, they didn't have Social Security. What he's talking about is that I have an idea that I'm going to manage it all. And whenever I'm free, that's when I will do it. And Shema lo sipana doesn't mean because I'm afraid he may not have that hour here and there. It's because if you have this hashkafa, you will never have the hour because the hour is never enough and that's not the way you approach Torah. So the hashkafa is a damaged hashkafa. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that's really the pshat of Shema lo sipana. But what you see here, in any case, is a very remarkable thing. Number one, that Reyacha here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to this Melitz, according to this Havana. It's a Medrash. Now, this is something that is astonishing. Before we get to that whole idea of Reyacha, because the hour is already late, and I'm going to have to postpone that discussion, but take a look in the Peleyoyetz. The Pele Yoyitz, Kvar Milsa Mura, that's what I want to finish with today. Kvar Milsa Mura, Ki Loi Toivahi, Ki Dechsiv, Al Toima L'Reach, Alech V'Shuv, Mocha Etain. What's Loi Toivah? Dechiyah. This is a chapter heading called Dechiyah. You know what Dechiyah means?
Postponement,
exactly. Pushing things off for another time. So it's a subcategory of laziness. Of inertia. Procrastination. Procrastination from the two words pro, which is for, and crass, which means tomorrow. Procrast, for tomorrow. Procrastination is to be doicha something for tomorrow. Two Latin words. Al toimel erech olech v'shuv v'mocha etein, uksiv toichelis memushocha machla slev, uksiv v'doiva emes v'vavoy, shetzorch shiyoma b'fiv es ha'sha'im l'vavoy. Omnom. Listen to this. I mean, it's remarkable that he's talking about the Chiyah, and in the middle he says, you know, sometimes the Chiyah is not so bad, because just like you're allowed to be Mishana Mipnei Darkei Shalom, you can also be Doicha Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Mipnei shadaiten shal nosim kalois v'im yoyma lo she'en eroitza l'malis chepza afilu im yagit tzare lo she'en yodei masegas l'malis kol chepza Ika isha ra rachman utzlan, deloy mekabelis va'avda merivo ketata. Kol ki ha toiv lageva sheyitcha isa b'masa shavu maduchim, miyayim liyayim u'bechaydesh l'chaydesh, kashe yuchal, bedvarim toivim, ad she min ha-shamayim yirachamu olav. It's pile ployib. You know, I always wonder what the matzav is for the people who write like that. But in any case, he says that there are certain circumstances where you're allowed to push something off because you can't say no. And even if you explain that the reason is because I can't afford it, but that's something that will be mitzayer her, and she in turn will be mitzayer you. So therefore, you better say, well, when I have a chance, I'll do it. And that way you can push it off. He's quoting, paraphrasing a phrase from Megillas Esther. So what's going to be? So it's like the fellow who was maskim to teach the Tsar's dog how to talk. So they say, if he succeeds, he'll get a great reward, and if not, he'll kill him. So he said, how could you undertake such a thing? So he says, well, listen, it's going to take a long time, and three things are possible, you know. Either he'll learn how to talk, or the Tsar will die, or the dog will die. So that's what she says over here. I don't know what the Yerachamu Olav is referring to. But apparently he means he'll have the money, I guess. What he's basically saying here, without the humor, or whatever you want to call this, is what I said at the beginning of the shiur. The idea of the machshava toiva mitzarful maisa, that you have to have a soif maisa b'machshava tchila, you have to make sure that that soif maisa fits the machshava and is not reduced by the extension of time and a person coming down to earth. Because machshavas are always very lofty, but when it comes to the lamaisa shabai, there's always a deterioration. And time is of the essence in this problem. Because the closer the maisa is to the machshava, the more likely it is to match the machshava. That's what he's saying. And therefore he says, Omnam zehu bidvarim sheyochol leida. Now he has another caveat, which is very fascinating. Sheyochol leida soif ha-maisa shu-motsu b'yodai. K'goyin she-mavakshim imenu eiz a-dover. He says, what about things that are not under your control? So what is the first and foremost example he gives of that? Shiduchim. He said, Dvarim ha-mesurim b'dei shamayim k'goyin ha-shiduchim k'me Hashem isha le-ish. In bo shad chonim l'shadich lo isha o'libnoi, ad yidcha oisam l'gamri ba'amor lo'chafatzi l'kachto, ki kama pa'omim b'einenu ro'inu, mishu mo'as b'isha v'einu chofetz b'klal, avo li'yoysa ba'zugoi ba'agia perek ha'noisei, nefach liboi b'kirbo l'av oisa v'lo'ikeach oisa l'isha, v'hein hein miplois t'mim deyim shum b'zavik zivugim. He says, many times you see a person that was doicha shidduch, and then, I don't know how he ends up getting to know her if he was doichid, but he changes his mind, and all of a sudden he's madly in love. So how could it be? He says, this is neflois habayre. Because when the shidduch comes, and it's time to do the shidduch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives her a special chayn. Hineki chayn lo yuchal adam loyma isha zu loy ekach, oy li ir zu loy eilech, v'chadoyme, ki lo yeda ma yelid yoymu ma gozru olov min ha-shamayim. Lo chayn, What is he saying over here? You could or you can't? You may. Right? Because that's what he says. So what is he saying here? He's saying as follows. What happens if a shadchan comes with a hatzah and the person at that moment is convinced it's not for him?
Don't say no.
You can't say an absolute no. You know, the same Pele Yoitz, he has a lot of Eitzes. So one of the Eitzes is that whenever you start building a building and they tell you the price is, let's say, $500,000 construction, you should immediately double it. Pele Yoyetz. So he gives you Eitzes. He gives you pragmatic Eitzes too. But in the Chia, he has a some here. He includes a very interesting idea. A Shadchan comes knocking on the door. Boy, do I have a Shidduch for you. And he or she describes the whole picture, and it does not Moitze Chein Beinecha Bechlal. For whatever reason. So what are you supposed to answer? So he says, you cannot slam the door on the Shadchan. You cannot say, it's not for me. It's Pelet the Gazach. So here, what is it? What is the Chlal doing in Perik Dechiyah? Because here you use the tool of Dechiyah instead of saying, Vad I know. Interesting. Most of the time, Dechiyah is negative because you should respond right away. But here, your response initially is going to be no. He says, no, you have to do Dechiyah. So he says, you're not supposed to push a shidduch away. Very remarkable. If your intention is no, you can't say no, because you never know. So therefore he says, I'm not ready for this right now. If it's the Eibishter's intention, it's going to happen. I'm not ready to get married. But im tirtza isha tamtim, if she wants to wait, she could wait. And vim tirtza tishtadach, and if she wants, of course, she's free to marry anybody she wants, get engaged to somebody else. The chol kayetze baze yishma chochem v'yosef lekach. Vim hatchia he rob. Now he goes back to the basic concept of the chia. Vim hatchia he rob b'mili da alma. And if it's not a good midah to be lazy and procrastinate, in mili da alma, a person says, I'm going to clean up my desk. And every day he looks at his desk in the morning and he says, I'm going to clean up my desk. Until finally it's not a problem because the pile's so high that he doesn't see the desk anymore. So then it's okay. So he says, if it's good in Mila the Alma to do things with alacrity and take care of it right away, Alachas kama v'kama v'divrei Torah v'tikun ha'ir, shem yesh lo avas ha'nitzuach v'royas ha'yosher, v'afal became v'vakish l'achsuk dvor v'usvarosa v'dechiyo shavu maduchim shel hevel. See, now all of a sudden he went off into another world. He says, there's another kind of dechiyo that's a problem. Not a dechiyo of a pa'ula, but being doicha people instead of being maida al ha-emes. It's another kind of pushing something off. Pushing off the burden of saying, you're right and I'm wrong. So when a person doesn't want to come to that conclusion, as it were, because it's painful to him, so he looks for all kinds of tachbulois to push off that inevitability by fadreying yenem akop. And by arguing arguments that have no strength whatsoever, as long as you can still feel that you're holding your own, and that's b'masal shav b'tchir shavu maduchim shel hevel. He says, what happens if a rav doesn't want to be shown up? So you come to the rav and you ask him a shaila. He paskins either because he doesn't know or because it was very perfunctory. He answered too quickly. He wasn't mayin in the inyonim. And then that person, Rachmana Litzlan, goes and asks a legitimate rav, and the rav tells him that that psak is ridiculous. So you come back to this rav, and you say that the other rav said that the halacha is the opposite. What is the next step? So he says, if he's legitimate, but he made a toz, he says, Toisi. If he was in a rush, he says, I'm sorry that you asked me the question at a moment. I shouldn't have answered you, but I was fatumult, I had a tzara, I had a tsar, I was in a rush, and he's right and I'm wrong. But then you have a rav who says, if I admit to him that I'm wrong, my reputation is ruined, and or at least tarnished. And then he'll go to him with all of his shilas, and then he'll give him all his checks. I can't afford something like that. I have to look good in his eyes. So I say, what did the fellow, there was a Meshulach that came to America and went somewhere like in the middle, in Kansas or Missouri, in the middle in the 1880s. And there's a Rav there, and the Rav announces to the Shul, Rabbi, say, remember to make an Erev Tavshilin. So the Meshulach goes over to the Rav and says, "B'mechilas kvaitcha, I think you made a shtikl tos." And Erev Tavshilin is only when Yom Tov is before Shabbos. Miyoyim Atovel is Shabbat. Here, in this particular case, Shabbos is before Yom Tov. So the Rav looks at him with a straight face and says, "What don't you understand? Here we follow Minhag Agra." Understand? He doesn't know what he's talking about. But here we follow Minhag Agra. The whole yesod of this shtickle, it deserves a shiur in its own right, I want you to know. There's so many times in interpersonal relationships, bein ishli ishtoi, bein av livnoi, a Rebbe with Talmidim, a Rav with a Kehillah, you want to save face. And saving face at the expense of what?
Honesty.
Of honesty, integrity, and sometimes to such an extent that you are ma'avis the din, and it could be a kilkul adoyres. You could even have children who are mamzerim because of that. What do I mean? There's a Rav that's supposed to be Masadar Aget. He messed up. He didn't write the right names, or he didn't have the right witnesses. Serious things. And the get is definitely not a get. It's not kosher. Person comes back, and he has a pikpuk on it. He read somewhere in a sefer, or he saw on the internet that you're supposed to do this and this. And he comes back to the Rav, he didn't see it happen. So the Rav says, "What's drei star cup? Internet? You look at the internet. A scandal from the world." And meanwhile, the get is possible. Why doesn't he admit that the get is possible? He's going to admit the get is possible. That's his whole livelihood. And besides which, it's his reputation. And where was he at the time? Such a chomer de kazach. Meanwhile, this person goes ahead. He has a wife, right? She's divorced, right? But she's really not. She goes ahead and marries Chaim Yankel. And they have babies. The children are mamzerim. So the chmam is unbelievable. And there's no end to the kilkul that could come out from these kinds of people. So a lot of times I tell a person, "I don't know, go ask Rav David Feinstein." So he says, I see, they're talking to me on the phone, but I see their faces. I said, "What kind of a Rav is that?" Yeah, you know what kind of a Rav that is? It's called an honest Rav. An honest Rav. A Rav who says, I'm not in that league. Or I don't know that particular halacha. Or I don't have time to look into it with the requirement that it demands. And therefore, go to somebody that has had this shaila 20 times already and has a masaira from the Gadol Hador of many dairis. That's a Rav. And there's no such thing as a Rav who says, yes, no, bit, bam, meh, and it doesn't matter and make a difference as long as reputation is upheld. What do you mean a Rav is asking? It's like the Rav who was learning deep into the night and they fired him because we want a Rav who knows his stuff and already got his degree, not somebody who's still practicing and studying. You know, it's a Maisa Shahoyah. There was such a town in America also. Yeah. So Lemay said, this is what he's saying, and the consequences are tremendous. Nafik churva, eish lahava, v'sina, v'eva, v'ataras isur, v'lag harba yigiyas vasa, l'chein yei odam yirei shamayim, u'moda ala emes, v'ala yosher, v'reishis maimar, ashe yoimar, from the very first word that comes out of his mouth, u'bazeh yifrach katamar. Tzadik katamar yifrach. Okay.